if it doesn't directly affect you or somebody that you care about, then it slips your mind. It's just something I think people need to do the opposite of take for granted. Like, be thankful that you don't need to use a handicap stall. And maybe if there are multiple choices, don't make that choice.
Thanks for joining us on Louisiana's Playground Podcast, your roadmap to all things Lake Charles, Louisiana. I'm Brady Raynard.
And I'm Jillian Quarter. We're excited to bring you another episode. Of course, we've got the authentic stories and experiences of Southwest Louisiana. We've got all the tools that you need to build your own personal Lake Charles itinerary.
In our Terrell Owens era, number 81. Huh? Huh? A little good, throwback.
Good reference there. Yeah,
yeah. Thanks. Episode 81, we're talking accessibility in Southwest Louisiana, especially through the eyes of like outdoor accessibility, yep, activities, things that everyone can enjoy, yeah, but making sure that we allow everyone to enjoy it because we're being inclusive in the way that we are, yes, thinking about enjoying, yes, those activities.
Thinking beyond just yourself and, yeah, really inclusivity, a big project here in Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana.
Sure.
A lot to think about there and a really great conversation coming up.
Yeah, with Kaylee Newcity. So stick by for that one. And before we get to there, you know what time it is. It's On the Eats. This week we head down the interstate, eastbound, over to Rabidoux in Iowa. This has really been a staple of Southwest Louisiana. The, yep, building's been there since 1977, mm-hmm, and has been Rabidoux all that time. The current owner took over in 1992, changed some things up, added the building, did, yep, some things differently. So most of the people that know Rabidoux as it is now has been since 1992. I mean, yes, they do deer processing. They do daily lunch plates, 7 days a week, breakfast through dinner. They have boudin smoked and regular. They fried boudin balls. They've got po' boys and burgers, baked potatoes, Wednesday barbecues, for example. They make 500 plates and they sell,
wow,
out every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So that just tells you that, you know, I've been a few times. Every time it's a line.
Yeah.
Not quite out the door, but I mean, it's steady.
Yeah. And you love a place that has this much history, that's been around for so long. So many, mm-hmm, generations of families have been there. You know, if you grew up in Southwest Louisiana, you know of this place. You've, yep, been there before. This is we've stopped by when I was a kid. I remember going there just when I was a kid, back when the Outlet Mall was a popping place.
Ooh, boy, that was a long time,
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah. We'd hit the Outlet Mall, and then you'd stop.
You're old.
And then you'd stop by Rabidoux. But it's awesome, and the food there was great.
Yeah, and if you've had sausage at a restaurant locally, mm-hmm, chances are
it's Rabidoux.
It came from their kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. Good chance, because they do supply to a lot of people,
sure,
around here. I mean, that's their, the restaurant's just kind of like an add-on business. Mm-hmm. Their real business is processing and making,
yep,
sausage, and it's the good stuff.
Yeah. Well, for lunch, I know, let's start with you. Baked potato, right? The grilled chicken baked potato.
Yes, grilled chicken baked potato. And I know that sounds so bland to most people because we're talking boudin and sausage and amazing flavors. But this is just like that warm, fuzzy feeling kind of meal that, mm-hmm, I needed that today. And when I tell you that I just got done eating, as we're recording this, I just got done eating, could not even come close to finishing it. I maybe ate half of this, mm-hmm, baked potato. It's perfectly seasoned grilled chicken on it. You know, it's got all the toppings that you'd want for in a loaded baked potato. So a little bit of bacon, cheese, chives, sour cream.
All the accoutrement.
It's buttery. It's such a, I don't know, that's like my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
Is
currently your favorite potato.
Because it's the potato in front of me. Mm-hmm. But I think like a loaded baked potato like that or chicken baked potato, you just, I don't know, there's something really like nostalgic, mm-hmm, about that meal for me, about a baked potato. And this is a great place to get it because it actually it is really well seasoned chicken. It's good. It's full of flavor. I also had a boudin ball too because I couldn't stop myself. Yes. Very good. Spicy,
mm-hmm,
like a little bit for,
okay,
me.
Sure.
Most people probably would be like, that's not spicy. But for me, you know, I think milk has a kick to it, you know, right. as Brady,
milk's a little spicy.
As Brady likes to say. No, it was a bit spicy for me, but what I loved about this boudin ball, first of all, it's like what you'd call a, I don't know, the way it's battered is different. It's not overly crispy, where like it's hard to bite into. Mm-hmm. It's got some good smoosh to it.
It's a good flour dough.
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It's so hard to
flour batter.
It's hard to describe. It's got a good smoosh to it, and because the inside is so moist, mm-hmm. sometimes you get a boudin ball and the inside is pretty dry. The mixture inside there of mm-hmm. rice and meat is just a little dried out. This is not. It is absolutely delicious, and I think this is a really good depiction of what their boudin tastes like as well, obviously. And so this is, it's the way to go. It's super moist. It's full of flavor. It packs a punch.
Speaking of the boudin, I mean, if you want to hear more about the way they make it mm-hmm. and a lot of the stuff, we talked to, on episode 48 of our podcast, we talked to Glenn Daigle, the owner of Rabidoux, and he kind of really goes in depth about what they do and the way that boudin is made here in Southwest Louisiana, and the reason why they're such a beloved staple here in the area.
Yep.
And look, the thing that I love about food, I know we talk about it here and there. Yes. is the properties of it that it's more than just sustenance, Jill. It's more than sustenance. There's memories. There's yes. emotion. Those things create, like, there's nostalgia. You remember, like you said, the baked potato feels like home. I had jambalaya, and it feels like home.
Yeah.
I get a bowl of gumbo, and it feels like home. I think it's comforting. It's like a warm blanket. I mean, and food can do that. Mm-hmm. Like few things can.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, food and people. Those are the two things. Smells kind of get thrown in there too, right?
It brings
those
you
senses,
back
and maybe it's just your senses. Maybe all of your senses to have a way of really connecting with your mind, heart, and soul.
Yeah.
And you know, jambalaya does that for me, and that's what their special was today that we mm-hmm. went, and it was really good. I mean, really good jambalaya. It was on the drier side versus, you know, there's multiple ways to do it. There's sticky jambalaya. There's more of a kind of a wet jambalaya. And then you have a drier jambalaya. Mm-hmm. They're all good. They're all beautiful. All jambalaya is beautiful.
All jambalaya is beautiful.
Theirs is more drier because it's meatier. It's a pork jambalaya, plenty of sausage in it. And so overall, it's very, very good. Obviously, it's salty because that's what you're looking for in a jambalaya. It's all that meaty rice. It just tastes like home. I mean, I had that note there because it does. Very, very good. I had macaroni and cheese on the side. Duh. You can't miss with that, right? And there was cornbread as well. Just very, very good homemade mac and cheese. It was all just awesome. And it's a great lunch plate and a key piece of Southwest Louisiana.
Yep.
You don't get a jambalaya plate anywhere, right?
No.
I mean, and here in Southwest Louisiana, you can get it a lot of places. But once you leave here, you can't really do it anymore.
Yeah, and this is just one of those things that it's a true, this place, go by Rabidoux, it's mm-hmm. a true taste of Southwest Louisiana. It's a taste of home.
Sure.
It brings you back, just like Brady said, back to those good memories.
And last thing with it, you know, like a lot of gas station cuisine, they're not a gas station, they're a convenience store, but gas station cuisine here in Louisiana is so famous because it is kind of its own food, right? Like you've got the meat pies, you've got sometimes the fried egg rolls, you've got stuff like you'll see boudin balls and boudin, those things that you'll get at the convenience stores. And they have that as well, in addition to things like the potatoes and burgers on their meals.
Yep.
So you can get, like I've had their fried chicken wings. They're awesome. You've had their boudin balls, their fried catfish, I've heard. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
So you can even kind of pick and choose from that area as well.
Yeah. When people say convenience store food, that means something different here.
It's a delicacy.
It really does mean something different for sure. But Rabidoux is great and got to go try it. Pretty convenient too, right off the interstate. You don't want to miss it.
From a great meal to a great guest, we welcome on Kaylee Newcity. She is an ambassador for Farah and a board member for Families for Inclusion, a local nonprofit that aims to aid people with disabilities. I'll let her elaborate more in a minute as we get into it all, but at age 23, she was diagnosed with Friedreich's ataxia, a neurodegenerative disorder that affects the nervous system and causes loss of coordination and movement. But as you'll hear from our conversation today, she doesn't let it deter her from living life, advocating for all disabilities, and learning new ways to continue doing what brings her joy. Welcome to the show, Kaylee.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Kaylee, before we get started with our conversation, we like to open up with some rapid fire questions with all of our guests. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay. So first up is crawfish or gumbo?
Crawfish.
Easy. Ooh, she said it so fast. Easy.
And she's not a native, so so she's had to learn both.
Yeah.
What is about crawfish?
It's weird. I like gumbo, but I like the juice, potato salad, and a hard-boiled egg, and that's it. I don't like unidentified meat.
Unidentified meat.
It's chicken.
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's
fair,
not.
Fair.
I don't like unidentified meat. Me either.
You can put that on my gravestone.
Your epitaph? I don't like unidentified meat.
Here you she lays. Not an unidentified meat lover.
That's amazing. Okay. This next one, hopefully you can answer just as quickly. Poolside or beachside?
Pool.
Pool.
Okay. Pools are more accessible. Beachside, sand.
Not as easy.
Not wheelchair friendly.
Not very. Yeah. Okay. And concert or comedy show?
I guess it depends on my mood. I am a comedy show, so I don't really need to go see one.
You've had me laughing since we started talking today.
It's true. So she has been.
I can't stop giggling. That's my thing. Okay. Let's get to the topic at hand, though.
Yeah.
And a very important topic. And we're talking making Southwest Louisiana more accessible.
And within that as well, wanting to identify great accessible outdoor activities for obviously anyone, but especially through the lens of those with disabilities. Can you start by telling us your work with Families for Inclusion and ultimately kind of the core mission where you do obviously most of your kind of your advocating there?
Yes. So I've been with Families for Inclusion for 2 years. So our core mission is to make Southwest Louisiana more inclusive and accessible for all abilities. Our main areas of focus are inclusive play, inclusive education, and inclusive communities. It's really cool because it was started by two local moms who have babies with special needs. And from there, I think 3 years, it's grown into a full board. We have 3 or 4 different parts of the board, and we do meetings once a month. We volunteer at a lot of local vendor things. Mm-hmm. We do inclusive coloring. If you've ever seen us at downtown, we have like crayons that are made for people that don't have great grip, or like they can go on your finger to color. It's great.
Sure.
So there's a lot of great things about families. I'm very proud to be part of them.
And obviously the spectrum of those that kind of fall in is a very broad brushstroke, just to continue with the art theme there. How do you define inclusion?
So to me, inclusion, if it is not intentional, we know. If you forgot about it and got fined, that is not to be hidden. If somebody needs a ramp and you added it after the fact, it's not accessible. If it's a total afterthought, then it's not intentional and it's not accessible, therefore not inclusive, because everyone cannot be a part of it.
What are some of those barriers or obstacles, I guess, that you see most often that kind of, I think, maybe for other people or an afterthought?
Yeah. I see it a lot in restrooms. Mm-hmm. We've gotten better, I feel like, maybe since they started out in the family restrooms. Those are pretty accessible, be it if you have a wheelchair or a mobility device, or even if you're a parent with young kids and you're trying to corral them, because the family bathrooms have changing tables, be it not always larger size ones. And there are disabled adults that need to be changed in public, and they don't go in public because their parents or caregivers cannot help them. They don't want to sit their child on the floor and change them if they don't fit into a changing table. So that, I know a couple of people, even just in town, that have children that are above 50 pounds that cannot do for themselves, and they cannot bring their kids anywhere because they can't be changed in public. After an hour or two, they have to go home. So,
Are there often simple solutions that can help alleviate a lot of those issues?
I think especially in those family-sized restrooms, that could definitely be helped. If there were an option for one larger changing table and just make sure that there's a strap for if it's a smaller person being changed. It just needs to be not just for a baby with a diaper. And that's the cool thing about accessibility. A lot of the changes you make benefit moms with strollers, mm-hmm. or it's not just wheelchairs. Mm-hmm. People can benefit from these changes that aren't just disabled people.
I think, you know, for we're very blessed that we haven't had to deal with that, sure. right? Mm-hmm. But as a mom with a stroller and who had two small babies at the same time, I was shocked to still go into certain restrooms and not even see a changing table at all. And I think I can't imagine what that's like for you to go somewhere and then say, oh, okay, can't. I'm not wanted here is what it must feel
that's
like.
That's exactly how it feels. It's just, if you're an afterthought, mm-hmm. you're like, wow, I spend money in this community, and I want to come to this restaurant, but they only have a staircase. They don't have an elevator, so I can't crawl up a staircase. So there's many things that, certain places, when they open, they say, oh, our upstairs wasn't originally meant to be for the community. That was just staff. But I'm like, so you are saying you fully never intended to hire somebody who couldn't understand.
Yeah.
That's not inclusive. Yeah,
and a lot of the older buildings, I know, just in Lake Charles, let's say, mm-hmm. you know, and anywhere, a lot of the older buildings were just not built for that in mind at all.
I mean, it wasn't a law yet. I think ADA passed in 1991.
Sure. So a lot of places are having to go under some, you know, infrastructure changes.
Yeah.
Which I think I've seen a lot of here in Lake Charles.
There's been plenty of updating. We saw work we can do for sure.
And so, obviously, we see the results of those things, but when it comes to advocating for it, why was that important for you?
I mean, with my diagnosis specifically, I hate the word normal, but I lived unaware of anything directly affecting me, physical and at 23, everything got flipped on its head. Mm-hmm. So it's one thing if, not that it makes it better, but if you've been disabled your whole life, maybe that's all you know. Mm-hmm. But if one day you're disabled and that could happen to anyone, you go from going out, going fishing, going hunting, and then all of a sudden you can't do any of that. Nothing is catering to anyone of a disabled, physically disabled, then that just flips you on your head.
So you want to try to make this world better?
Yes. I'm not out here telling anyone they're doing anything bad, but there's room for improvement.
Sure.
You've obviously done a lot of work with Families for Inclusion. You guys are really kind of focused on action. Can you tell me and kind of update us before we get into the outdoor accessibility, the fun section? Just wanted to get to highlight a lot of the things that you guys are doing that is important, that is bridging the gap between acceptable and not acceptable.
Yes. So with families, one of our newest programs right now is called RIDES, RIDES, which stands for RIDES for Inclusion and Daily Empowerment. So it is a program that you can apply for on our website or on Facebook. We also have a link. If you have a documented disability preventing you from driving, you can apply. And if you are approved, you get a $250 Lyft gift card to help you get to appointments or to a job. And you're eligible to apply every 90 days while we have the funds. And then the other really cool one that we last month sponsored 20 different Louisiana therapists, and they were all certified by a lady named Greta, who does certifications for spinal cord stimulation therapy, and that was funded by our BNG grant. So now those local families do not need to travel hours and hours to go for treatment. So that is a really cool new thing. We've done that 2 years in a row, but this year it evolved to a lot larger of a scope. So that was really cool.
And it's great to see that action kind of taking place here in Southwest Louisiana, and something that we at Visit Lake Charles are doing too, to kind of help with that and help figure out where we can improve as a destination. We're partnering with Wheel the World, and they're doing accessibility assessments for a number of local establishments and over the next couple of years. With what you know of Wheel the World, what type of significance do you think that partnership could have for Southwest Louisiana?
So, speaking of somebody with a disability, I think number one, just the awareness that we have room to grow by large parts of the community is a huge role to move forward. Them saying, hey, we're not perfect, we've got things we could do, and this is how we're going to do it, and you can apply for this grant if you need help. So I think that is a great step in the correct direction. And I've been following them on Facebook for a few years, and they just having somebody in the shoes of a disabled person, as well as knowing what is compliant and what is not, I think will be a large step in the right direction.
Just adding to the work that you guys are doing already. And what let's talk about that outdoor accessibility and some of the big strides we've made there.
Yes. Yeah, so I know of a few locally. I know Sam Houston Jones Park in Moss Bluff, they have a track chair that can go off the sidewalk, so you can take that out. It's almost like a little, almost like a tank.
Like a tank wheel. Like
but
a,
it's
like,
a wheelchair, yeah. So you can kind of go hiking, go off the concrete, which is really cool. See all the little jitterbugs or whatever y'all got here, Brady.
Jitterbug?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What's that rat thing?
Nutri-rat?
Yeah.
What's that rat thing?
The invasive species. They're not even native to here.
Why are their teeth orange?
That's rude. You can't ask somebody why their teeth are orange.
I'm in a wheelchair. Yes, I can.
Oh, my goodness. It's got to be because of what they eat.
Carrots? Wild grown carrots?
Radishes. What do they eat?
So according to the Google device, their orange teeth is because of the iron in their tooth enamel.
Hmm.
So
I'm grateful to have an iron deficiency.
Grateful to have an iron deficiency.
I was about to say George Washington, didn't he have like wooden teeth?
Yes,
so
he did.
You could have almost orange teeth that way too. Yeah. So there's a lot of ways to have orange teeth if you're interested.
I'm good. No, I'm good.
Anyways. Okay, yes. Woo! So you can take the track chair.
Yes.
To go see the Nutria. It's
there.
I don't even
is.
Know if they have Nutria at Sam Houston Jones
I
State Park.
I think they do.
Do they? Maybe
yeah.
so.
Yeah. Another one that I have heard of, have not gotten a chance to do yet, it's called Selfish Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
We will have them on the podcast. They have been a circled podcast guest for a little bit. We haven't gotten a chance to bring them on, but we have been interested to see the work that they're doing.
It looks awesome. And I want to say they do it for free for elderly and disabled.
Mm-hmm.
And they did in Imperial Point, the villages, the elderly, they took them out. So I was like, that is, I know plenty of people that, you know, like I've said, I've circled back to say you're not disabled, and then one day you are, and you can just roll your chair right up to this boat, and they take you out. I think it's great. So,
yeah, because that's like you said, that's an experience that you kind of have to forego
yep.
for most people when that happens, and so being able to
still give you that piece of nostalgia.
Just being on the water,
on the water, absolutely. Yeah. And speaking of that, have you gotten a chance to really explore the Creole Nature Trail?
I have from a vehicle. I've not been brave enough to go trekking out with the gators yet.
Sure.
But I've seen all the walkways and docks mm-hmm. and things, and it looks really, really nice. So I just recently got a wheelchair van with a ramp like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So I'm excited to go exploring. I don't need help with anything. I'm an independent woman now.
Independent woman don't need no man.
Yeah, I want a man, but I don't need him.
I don't need him.
And you let him know all the time.
I do. You know what?
But you had mentioned, you know, the boardwalks that they have, the viewing platforms, a lot of really accessible spots for people to go and see the nature and really kind of take it in. Because, you know, back before we had children, we oftentimes drove down to and would just kind of make the loop and it's such a weird, comforting connection that you get. And I say weird, it's not that weird. It's what it's humans have always done.
Well, it's very Louisiana.
But you get such a connection to it, and just seeing an alligator kind of brings a weird joy to you. And it's awesome.
Well, it's nice to feel like a kid again. And part of that is like reliving childhood, you know.
In the wild too, like it's different than going to a zoo. Like they have to be there at the zoo.
You're kind of the zoo.
These alligators just want to be
here. Yeah, they're having a good time, and I'm here for it.
It's a different vibe completely.
Yeah.
What about locally around the lakefront, nearby parks? Those that you guys have highlighted that are really accessible and really enjoyable.
So I have not got to go next door to the New Crying Eagle, but I have talked to Miss Fran. She said, I've got an elevator for you. I'm like, yes. So I'm excited.
It is very nice.
It looks gorgeous. So I'm really excited to do that. I know that a lot of the parents involved with families, they're pretty close with Children's Museum, and they have a lot of exhibits that just everyone can feel like a kid, no matter your abilities. So I think that is great. I was telling you, Brady, that I was at this weekend. I volunteered, and we did an event downtown, like on the lakefront. Man, the parking out there—it's like every five or six non-handicap in the front row, and then like three or four handicap is. Mm-hmm. With the hash, it's chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss to the parking lot.
Oh, it's a great parking lot. And everything is paved and safe, wide sidewalks. It's nice.
And that's something that's easy to take for granted, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, I didn't care if a sidewalk had a crack in it. Like,
right.
Now I flip out of my chair and crack my head on the ground, so.
Gotta watch out for these things.
Nobody, it'll be two cracks.
I don't want anyone to have to see that, but.
But yeah, that's, I think you're, it's highlighting though that.
Sure.
That we, and I say this, me, I don't think about things in that way.
Nope.
And even though it's unintentional that I'm not intentionally trying to leave someone out, I don't think about these things.
I don't think that many people do. And it's not because they don't care. It's just, if it doesn't directly affect you or somebody that you care about, then it slips your mind. So it's just something I think people need to do the opposite of take for granted. Like, be thankful that you don't need to use a handicap stall. And maybe if there are multiple choices, don't make that choice.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's pretty simple. I'm not the kind of person that's going to hate on somebody with a child that uses the saw. I don't care. But get in, get out, you know?
Yeah.
And too often I go places and it's employees just hanging on in the handicap stall on their phones. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, you don't want to become an angry disabled person, but it's like, I found myself knocking and they're like, hi, I'm in a wheelchair. I need that stall.
Yeah.
That's the only
this
stall.
This is my option. Thank
I
you.
I have one option and you're on your phone.
Yeah.
So it's hard to not let it rub you the wrong way and still remain mm-hmm. a positive. Like, I want to be a voice that's not negative, negative, negative. Yeah. I want to highlight the good and bad.
Yeah. I think one thing I have noticed, we've lived here for 10 years, and I think I've seen this change just since our kids have been born, the last 4 years or so. At parks in Calcasieu Parish, I feel like they have made a major stride to make them more inclusive and accessible.
Definitely.
The swings, just the different areas of the parks and play.
They have different options.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen a real difference.
Not as much, like, not gravel. What's the wood stuff? Not as much wood chips.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because, like I said, wheelchairs and strollers mm-hmm. cannot go through wood chips, gravel. Like, it needs to be paved or that rubber matting.
Yeah.
It's good for everyone.
I feel like I've seen a lot of changes mm-hmm. in that aspect lately.
Fair. Yeah. And I know Lock Park is kind of getting a renovation. Yeah.
I'm not a part of that. But Julia Bourgeois, the CEO, that girl is spearheading Lock Park. It is going to be the coolest thing. I'm so excited to see it.
Are there any small tidbits that you can kind of tell that kind of fit our narrative today?
It's definitely going to be fully accessible and not just wheelchairs. Like, there'll be things that are inclusive for somebody who doesn't have much speech or mm-hmm. different ways of communicating. There's going to be like a board with sign language and different sight words on it. It's not paved, but I think it's a rubber mat on the ground. There's different things that wheelchair users can play on. So that's one of Julia's favorite things. I had mm-hmm. like, obviously,
that's awesome.
With her young boys, she's got one in a chair and one not in a chair, and they want to play together.
Yeah.
And they should be allowed to play together. It shouldn't even just be one park, but
yeah,
there's going to be one great park.
Well, and, you know, one of our kids' favorite parks is over in Westlake is Pine De Rosa. And when they built it, had all of this in mind, right? Mm. And so there's a merry-go-round that has
A ramp,
like a wheelchair that. Access to it, which I think is incredible. It's got the board, like you said, with sign language on it and Braille. It just seems like they thought somebody's thinking
it was
more
intentional.
About this. Yes, it
you
was
see
intentional.
Where we're going here.
Yeah, yeah. we're it seems to be a theme.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up the outdoor activity space with a kind of a family day blueprint, if you will. I mean, it doesn't have to be a full family, but do you have an accessible morning to evening plan that you would recommend for a family or just even a couple or person visiting?
So I've mentioned Children's Museum once already, but I would say if you have kids, start there.
Yep.
And kind of maybe just stay along Lakefront. You can go to the new Crown Eagle. I believe they should be fully opened and out of there.
By the end of the month. Yep.
Yep. And then I feel like when the weather cooperates, any day of the weekend, you can pretty much find something to do. On the lakefront, be it over by the amphitheater, there's always some type of event with food trucks and vendors. So that is my quick. And then there's also the playgrounds, too. So you do have kids. You could bring kids. And Millennium Park is great for kids of all ages. So there's plenty to do if you want to stay right there on the lakefront. Veterans Memorial Park is awesome to visit. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to do right there.
What's been probably your favorite activity since coming over to Southwest Louisiana?
My favorite activity. Well, I'm a simple woman. I like to pet dogs and drink iced coffee. So I go to Stella Beans or The Buzz. And I get iced coffee, and then I come downtown and pet dogs that don't belong to me.
We do have the dog park.
The dog park is great. And then during Mardi Gras and Halloween, we have like pet parades where they're dressed up. Yeah. And that, I mean, the serotonin I get from seeing a dog in a costume, like literally 30 times a day, I'm like, can I pet that dog? That's my go-to. I say that. And I'm in a wheelchair, so I can pet that dog. You can't tell me
can
no.
Can I pet that dog?
I mean, I'm using that in. Hello, my friend in the wheelchair is a pet dog. Sure.
I want to pet that dog.
Yeah, I do.
Can I pet your dog?
I do be petting dogs.
Petting dogs and drinking iced coffee.
Yeah, that's great.
I'm a woman of simple pleasures here. Mm-hmm. Love that.
What steps can people take and what resources can they use to help some maybe their favorite place or maybe a place that they own and help them become better advocates?
So in my opinion, I would say that if you have steps and do not have an option for someone to get up the steps that cannot use their feet to walk up them, you need to have a backup plan. I've been to other cities like Savannah and New Orleans, and they're not going to modify their old buildings. It's part of history. I understand that. They have a back entrance with a ramp like that people that are loading food in dollies are able to use, and that's definitely a thing. But also restrooms need to be updated. And you know if your bathroom is out of date at a business. Mm-hmm. There's things you can apply for, different grants to help you update things like that. If they're not correct, there needs to be roll under sinks. There needs to be at least one handicap stall with a grab bar. The hand dryer or towels should not be 5 feet in the air.
Yeah.
In a handicap stall, the hook for a purse on the back of the door should not be 5 feet in the air. You're in a handicap stall.
I have actually seen that before. You're in a handicap stall. Who does that help? Yeah.
You can't reach that from a chair. So there's just like little silly stuff.
Yeah.
Undo that and put it lower. That costs you $2 for a screw.
Yeah.
Like, so it's, there are ways. And then if you're not the business owner, I would just say if you're aware that there's not a push button on the door or if there's not a clear path through a restaurant or a business, just be aware and don't ever grab somebody's wheelchair without asking, but say, can I move this? Would this help you? Mm-hmm. There are ways to communicate with somebody in a wheelchair. You don't have to be scared to speak to them. Don't talk to them like they're a child.
Kaylee has not bitten either of us during any of this conversation.
And I might not if I get lunch soon.
If she gets out of here.
I don't know. I just think there's certain ways to communicate.
Sure. And if a business maybe has questions or wants to make sure that they are accessible and inclusive, they can reach out to Families for Inclusion. Mm-hmm. Call Kaylee. Invite her over. She'll tell you what's
wrong.
I'll
tell you all about yourself.
There
don't
you go.
Don't you fret.
That's a great idea.
$100 visit. Thank you.
There you go. Here's my Cash App.
It's my business model just got built right here.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here on the show and kind of opening our eyes to how to be more inclusive and how to kind of think maybe differently, and also giving us some activities that we're able to share with other people.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Kaylee for joining us here on the show. And the biggest thank you of all goes out to you, the listener. If you enjoyed the show, please do as you have been doing and continue to do it. So give us a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcast. Shoot us a comment. Send us some snail mail or an email. I don't care. Contact us. We like to hear from you.
Have you ever gotten snail mail regarding our podcast?
All right, can you just read your line?
Just a cease and desist, I'm sure. All right. It will help us grow our audience and further share the unique experiences that Lake Charles and all of Southwest Louisiana has to offer. Go to visitlakecharles.org/podcast for more episodes, advice on where to eat, and events that are happening this weekend.
I've got this. I'm Jillian Corder.
And I'm Brady Raynard.
Okay. Thanks again for coming to play at Louisiana's Playground. Sit you.